Welcome to Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We are so glad you decided to join us today. We know you're going to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by this powerful sermon. Hey everybody, and welcome to Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We have a little bit of a different format here today in our sermons. We had a little bit of a mechanical problem recording this when I preached on this last Sunday, and so I decided I wanted to make sure that I got this part two to our series on spiritual warfare. I wanted to make sure I got my part two online, so I decided to just kind of podcast it for you and walk you through it. And so this is more in the comfort of my office. But I just feel that this is so important for me to make sure that I add this to part one because of what it means to all of us. And it's interesting, you preach these things. You end up kind of going through, it ends up trying to come to you. So I'm actually even preaching this or bringing this to you today from an even deeper understanding than had I done it, had it mechanically worked okay when I preached it originally. So we're going to get into this. We're going to call this Armored Up Part 2. And of course, we're in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to begin where we left off of Part one. And if you haven't listened to part one, make sure you go there because you need to learn about the first three pieces of the armor. We're going to focus today on verses 16 through 18. We talked about in part one that the belt of truth, the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, and the gospel shoes, which are peace with God, we receive those when we come to Christ. So, like we talked about in part one, those three pieces of armor we have on us all the time. In other words, we are in the truth, so we're going to be able to stand in this fight strong and capable because we are living in the truth, God's truth. That's the belt of truth, and that's what holds all the other pieces together, is we're standing in the truth, truth of God, truth of God's word. Then we have the breastplate of righteousness, which simply is saying that on us, we are already clothed. The moment we come to Christ, we are made righteous. We are given Christ's righteousness. It's imputed to us. It's given to us, put into our account. We were once unrighteous. Now we are made righteous. So we are now able to fight and stand in this battle against the enemy, against the devil, as he tries to wage war against us. We can be firm and confident because we know we are in Christ. We know who we are in Jesus. Because if you know you're saved, if you're saved and you know you're saved, you have the breastplate of righteousness on you. You are a new creation. You are standing girded up and strengthened in Christ's righteousness. And then we have what's described as the gospel shoes. And the gospel shoes literally are peace with God. So now we also have on us, the moment that we came to Christ, that wrath that was against us, the enmity that was between us and God, that's now removed. And we now, you know, we always talk about, I want peace, or Christmas season has peace. We're not talking about that kind of peace. We're talking about now the separation between us and God, the enmity, the wrath of God against us before we've come to Christ. Now that we come to Jesus, we now are at peace with God. Think about that. So the gospel shoes, being the peace that we have with God now, give us great stability, because the soldier's shoes were vitally important to keep him strong and stable in the battle. So the understanding and the knowledge that we are in and at peace with God should give you great confidence in any spiritual battle that comes your way. So we have the belt of truth already on, the breastplate of righteousness already on, and the gospel shoes that are peace with God already on us. And again, these three pieces build in us a confidence of who we are in Christ, which then should embolden us and strengthen us for any battle that may come from the enemy. Amen. So now we're going to talk about we're going to see that the shield of faith, the helmet, and the sword are now going to be our responsibility to take up or pick up or take into our hands. And we are to do this in all circumstances, every condition, every situation, and in every setting. One commentator made this quote. He said, "Do not be surprised at the devil's attack." Of course he attacks. That is his character. That is his nature. Do not complain that you are being treated unfairly. That is the nature of life, struggle, warfare, and satanic attack. Furthermore, God allows the devil to attack. This is clear revelation of Scripture. God permits these attacks because, for one thing, we need them. We never would develop or grow properly if we were not attacked in this manner. And this is what ultimately accomplishes God's will for our lives. The whole outworking of God's eternal plan could never be brought to pass were it not that God permits the devil to operate within his limited sphere of activity. Let us never forget that. Charles Spurgeon said, "Like Spartans, every Christian is born a warrior. It is his destiny to be assaulted. It is his destiny to attack." In other words, this is the reality of life. There is a devil out there, and he will attack us. I'm telling you, the moment we come to Christ, you can almost look at it like we've been put on his hit list. Why would he want to mess with us that much before we know Christ? We're already serving him, so to speak. But now that we come to Christ, we're on God's team, and he wants to try to mess that up. He wants to try to affect that. Now, obviously, as Christians, he cannot possess us. We do not believe theologically in Christian possession of believers. That is a false teaching. But he can, I don't even like the term demonize. Some groups out there talk about that as well. We simply realize what he can do is he can manipulate, he can come in, and he can try to get us off balance. So he works at our lives and comes against us, each one of us, in our individual ways and areas of temptation or whatever it may be, and he tries to get our life off balance to make us ineffective for the kingdom of God. So he wants us as believers to not live out God's will for our lives, to not fulfill God's plan for our lives, and in the course of our life as a believer to not be effective for the kingdom. If anybody out there that can relate to this who has been a believer for any length of time, and you know that he's attacked you in certain areas, the devil's really good at bringing attacks that steal your forward movement because you get frustrated, discouraged, doubt, fear, whatever comes along, and then all of a sudden your forward progress is impeded and you slow down. Some people just get so, it just really throws them off course. So the point here, he is coming to cause imbalance in our lives, to get us from being ultimately effective for the kingdom of God. So in verse 16, let's go into these next three pieces of armor. And verse 16 reads this way. It says, "In all circumstances," so in all circumstances, really, I mean, the minute you wake up in the morning, put on your shield of faith. "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all," not some, "but all the flaming darts of the evil one." In the days of Paul, a formidable weapon was the flaming arrow. So Paul's writing this, painting a picture of the Roman soldier's armor and the weapons that would come, that were used against him. So he's talking about, we use the shield of faith to distinguish these flaming darts or arrows. Again, it was a very formidable weapon back in the days of Paul, and this arrow had a really heavy iron tip. They dipped it into pitch, kind of like almost like a tarry type substance. Then they would set it on fire. And it was so, the way the pitch worked and the way the fire burned within the pitch, even the speed of the arrow in the air wouldn't distinguish the flame. And it was like this deadly flaming missile. These arrows would cause panic within the opposing ranks. especially when they would embed themselves into the soldier's shields and they would cause that shield to begin to burn. The point of this was to frighten soldiers enough to make them throw down their burning shields and leave themselves and all those around them unprotected from arrows and spears. And, you know, if there's any husbands or fathers out there, think about that. He wants to affect you with these flaming arrows that are coming against you to try to get you to throw down your shield of faith and say, I give up, I can't take this, and leave yourself unprotected and your family unprotected. So there's a great aspect and a great point how we need to make sure that we are spiritually armored up. So this very formidable weapon needed a very formidable defense, and that's where the shield of faith comes in. The word shield in Greek was the word thura, which meant door. It was named a door because it looked like the soldier was actually carrying a door into battle. That's how big the shield was. Covered him. Literally, he could touch it on the ground and get behind it and guard his entire body from these arrows piercing into him and bringing any damage or killing him. They were covered in thick animal hide. They were soaked in water before battle. So if they were hit with a flaming arrow, the fire couldn't spread. So we have the shield of faith. So then, the shield of faith, it's indispensable. It's critical and it's crucial to us as soldiers, to our victory. Just like it was to the soldiers of that day, they had to have the shield of faith to stop these flaming arrows. We need the shield of faith to stop the arrows that the devil launches at us. So what Paul seems to be saying is that if we have the shield of faith in operation, we have the ultimate weapon that will withstand every kind of attack that Satan will wage against you. And listen, Satan attacks us at the level of our faith. He will shoot these arrows of doubt. Doubt in what? Well, to some of us, he'll shoot these arrows that cause you to doubt in God's ability to provide for you. So people get in fear. Oh, how's this going to work out? How am I going to make it? Oh no, look at the finances. How, you know, what's going to happen here? And so he shoots these arrows. And if we're not properly armored up with our shield of faith, faith in God, faith in God's word, faith in knowing God's with us, these arrows of doubt and fear and even self-confidence will attack us at our level of faith. Arrows of worry and anxiety. He even launched them at Jesus's confidence in the Father to take care of him. Remember, Jesus was without food for 40 days, and Satan's suggestion was for him to make food for himself because apparently God the Father won't take care of him. So he tries to launch these flaming arrows to discourage, to distract, or divert us from fulfilling our faith in Christ. So how does faith quench these darts? How does the shield that we call faith, how does this faith, shield of faith, guard us from these arrows that he launches at us every day? Some of you may have arrows coming at you right this minute. I've had some since I preached this last Sunday. I've had arrows shot at me through this Christmas season. Well, how does faith quench these darts? Well, it's an essential protection against these arrows of temptation, worry, discouragement, doubt, and fear, because here's a key line. You need to write this down. Faith is the believer's expression of trust in God's promises, plans, and truth. So anytime a dart comes, I see yourself, I hold up my shield of faith, which is my trust in God's promises, my trust in God's plans, and my trust in God's truth. So now anything that is shot at me should not affect me, because that faith, my faith that's now acting as a shield, literally repels those flaming arrows. They hit the ground, smolder, and they go out. So that's the power of having, of being armored up in your faith. You've got to have your faith shield on, your faith shield up, So our shield is faith, a faith in God's trustworthy word and in the one whose name faithful and true, Jesus. So that's our shield. It is faith in God, faith in trusting in his promises and everything he's promised you in his word. It will come to pass. It's there for you to bank on, stand on, to believe on, to know and declare plans. He has plans for you. You trust in God's plans for you. You trust in God's truth, and that is a shield of faith against every doubt, every dart of doubt, every dart of discouragement. Have you ever wondered as a believer, why do I feel so discouraged? Why am I discouraged about this and my future, about this, what I'm doing? Those are darts. Those are arrows. And what happens is when our shield of faith isn't up, guess what we start doing? We start saying things out of our mouth, negative about our situations and about ourselves. And we think things, thoughts come into our mind. And if it's not biblical, then it's not from God. It's from the devil. And we're allowing that to affect our lives if we don't put up our shield of faith to repel it. It's just like when David took his stand against Goliath by trusting in the name of Jehovah. So our faith needs to be firmly grounded on Christ the rock and his truth. It's a sure defense against every missile. So it's an unwavering faith, is an unwavering belief in God's word. And this belief protects us from temptation's arrows. So let's say this, the devil fires a flaming arrow of doubt at you. Doubt in the fact that you'll be provided for, because you know what, it's getting really, really bad. But, because you are reacting to this assault like a knowledgeable, battle-ready, firmly positioned believer, you pick up your shield of faith to stop this arrow from piercing your heart and affecting your emotions and your stability by causing doubt in God's ability to provide. Listen, your faith is grounded in Philippians 4:19, for example. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. See, your faith is grounded in knowing who God is in your life. So any arrow of trying to bring doubt into your life, into your thought life, that God can't provide, how's this going to be, how my needs going to be met, how my bills going to be paid, and all these things he tries to launch and tries to get you discouraged, you stand in your faith knowing that God's promises to you are he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You pick up that shield of faith. You're battle ready. You're firmly positioned as a believer with your shield of faith. How about this one? He fires a flaming arrow of fear at you. Man, I know a lot of believers, man, that live too much in fear. Fear from the bad report you received. Fear from, how about this, a financial situation or some type of situation with your children. Maybe it's from an unknown future and on and on. And here comes this flaming arrow of fear. But because you are reacting to this assault like a knowledgeable, battle-ready, firmly positioned believer, you pick up your shield of faith to stop this arrow of fear from piercing your heart and affecting your emotions and your stability. Why? Because your faith is grounded in, for example, Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord. Your faith is grounded in knowing who God is in your life. So that's why you've got to put on the shield of faith, because it stops these arrows from sticking. It stops these arrows from penetrating you in your mind and your thought life, and then getting you to begin to get off balance in life and become ineffective for the kingdom of God, and actually ineffective for all those around you as well. I'm going to read you a quote. It says, Satan's fiery missile enticing you to commit sin is always a temptation to not believe God. For example, God says, do what is right and I'll bless you. Satan says, do what is wrong and you'll experience pleasure. Who do you choose to believe? If you believe God and follow through in an unhesitating obedience, you've just taken up the shield of faith and deflected the lie of the enemy. So you pick up your shield of faith in obedience. Listen, we need to have our character, our lifestyle, and our expectations to be governed by our faith in God. Amen. So this is true faith, the shield by which you're going to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Lastly, regarding the shield of faith, Spurgeon used this illustration, and I really want to read this to you, and I'll read it slow so you can really hear it. Listen to this illustration. This is really good. It goes like this. The devil said, quote, "One day you shall be poor and starve." "No," said the believer, handling his shield well. "He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Bread shall be given thee, and thy water shall be sure." "Ah," said Satan, "but thou wilt one day fall by the hand of the enemy." "No," said faith, "for I am persuaded that he hath begun a good work in me, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." "Ah," said Satan, as he shot another arrow, "you are weak." "Yes," said faith, handling his shield, "but my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." "But I will have thee after all," said Satan. "No," said faith, "he hath said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand." This is what I call handling the shield of faith. That's a great example. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. It says, with which you can or be able to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And that word will be able, or with which you can. In the Greek, it's the word dunamai. It means to have the power by virtue of inherent ability. It's in you because now of who you are in Christ, to be capable and strong and powerful. In the Greek, it's in the passive voice, it's called, which indicates that this is an internal enablement provided by an outside source. The Spirit of God gives you the power to be able to extinguish. You can't do it on your own. And we can all say, boy, that's true, because you tried it. I've tried it. We can't do it on our own. We have to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the ability, which with which I can, I will be able to distinguish all the flaming darts of the arrow. I put up my shield of faith, and I have the power, and I have the ability to be capable, strong, and powerful in this. Listen, Spirit of God enables you through His power within you to extinguish all the flaming darts of the enemy. So I say to you, pick up your shield. Somebody may be listening to this right now. You need to pick up your shield. I mean, you need to get it up quick, because you're going through something right now. You are discouraged. You are filled with doubt or fear. You need to pick that shield up, and you need to deal with those arrows that are trying to pierce you and stay in you, causing you to feel this way, because feeling that way is not of God. It's not biblical. You are supposed to be living in victory, living an overcoming victory as a believer. I say that to myself. I say that to you. I've been there. I've been where you are. You've got to fight this. It's a battle. You've got to fight it. You've got to recognize it. This is not some mystical thing. This is truth. Paul's trying to help us to learn how to fight this fight. So you pick up your shield of faith. Faith in God's promises to you. Faith in God's plan for your life. Amen. You want to be as effective as you possibly can. So let's go on to number two. And next, in verse 17, we have another powerful piece of armor that we're going to put on. It says, and take, remember, we now have to take these and put them on. It says, and take the helmet of salvation. That word and take the helmet of salvation, that word and is the Greek word kai, and it couples. What it's doing is it's coupling this piece of armor with the preceding pieces of armor. Listen, the armor is composed of different pieces, but it's a unit. And not one piece can be missing if we are to successfully wage spiritual warfare in His power and for His glory. So, and we take up the helmet of salvation. Take is the Greek word dekamai. It means to accept deliberately, receive readily. It's especially appropriate because this piece of armor has to do with our salvation position. This is really powerful. So you accept it deliberately, pick it up and receive it readily and put it on, because you're going to see why and what it's going to bring into your life. And it's saying that the way it's written in the Greek, this is an urgent command from Paul. He's saying, do this and take this helmet of salvation. Take it, put it on now. The Greek text actually means it to read this way, and take the helmet which is salvation. Take the helmet which is salvation. This is really important because Satan seeks to destroy a believer's assurance of salvation with his weapons of doubt and discouragement. And I have met so many people, and I have counseled with enough believers who doubt that they're saved. And man, when you're in a position, unfortunately, some people get taught that. Listen, my theological position is this. I believe the Bible clearly tells me that once a person is truly born again, you don't lose your salvation. No one can pluck you out of God's hand. No one can take that from you. No one can take the Spirit from you. Once you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live and reside in you. Yeah, you may mess up after that, and you may falter, and you may fall. Everybody does, but that doesn't mean that you've lost your relationship with God. It doesn't mean that you've lost your salvation. You have to come into a place of understanding that if you have truly confessed Christ as your Savior, this is not about going to church. This is not about riding on the coattails of your mom and dad's religion. You grew up in a Christian home. You go to a good church where there's, you know, great worship and you sing some songs. That doesn't make you saved. It doesn't even make you saved that you read the Bible. Salvation comes when you place your trust and faith in Christ as your Savior, repenting of your sins, recognizing that your sin that you were born into is separating you from God the Father, and as a sinner, you need Christ to be your Savior, to make you right with God the Father. And what he wants to do is, even after people even have truly done that, to bring in this doubting the assurance of their salvation, and it discourages people. I know there's people out there who are listening to this right now that are going through some kind of funk in their life, some kind of situation. They're discouraged because they feel like they're not, they feel like, am I really saved? Because the devil gets you to question that. You've got to be sure. Listen, security in Christ is a fact. Since I got saved, I was 27 years old, I got radically converted. I know, one thing I know I'm saved. Have I made mistakes? Yes. Have I needed to repent and confess of sins? Yes, because no one's perfect even after they're born again. But I'm still in relationship with God the Father. I just got to make sure that if I mess up, which I do everything I can not to, because now that I'm saved, it doesn't give me a license to sin. I want to do everything I can now to live a holy life, to be obedient to Christ. But I'm assured of my salvation, so I deal with anything that I think I may have done that would hinder my side of a relationship between me and God the Father. But I know that my security in Christ is a fact. Assurance is a knowing that will come to an obedient Christian through understanding the fact of their salvation. So, listen, salvation security in Christ is a fact, and that, to my friends who are listening to this, this is a fundamental way for us to stay strong in Christ in the battle. If we know who we are in Christ, listen, you can't let him come to you and say, well, you remember when you messed up this way or you messed up that way. You need to look back at him and you need to say back to him and say, listen, I've confessed that before my Father. All things are right. I'm assured of my salvation in Christ. I know who I'm in Christ, and I serve the one who is the greater one in Jesus' name. Listen, because of how you think, in large part, determines how you feel and how you act. So you accept, remember the definition, accept deliberately the helmet which is salvation. And this will enable you now to think biblically about all these predominant worldviews that are whirling all around us. So we have the helmet which is salvation on us. It's going to develop in us a Christian mind, a saved mind, a mind that thinks like it really is saved, because you are saved. So God commands us to receive the helmet, which is salvation, to protect how we think about all these worldly ideas that bombard us daily. It gives us the strength in the battle, as well as the enemies trying to come against us and feed us lies. We stand strong because we have the helmet, which is salvation, on, which is assuring us that in this battle, His lies are false, and we are in Christ. We are Christ's kids. We are soldiers for the kingdom, and we are going to be victorious in this battle. See how that's going to bring you stability? Let me read you a quote by a Bible commentator. This is really powerful. It says, Satan wants to belt you in the head with discouragement and doubt. His attacks of discouragement might go like this. You sure are giving a lot, not getting much in return. You're circumscribing your life to a certain standard and setting yourself apart from the world. But what happens? You lost your job? That's some blessing. You've been reading your Bible every day, but your wife is as cranky as she was before you bought it, and it hasn't had any effect on her. It's kind of funny. What is God doing in your life? You've been going to church for years, but look at your kids. They don't respect you today any more than they ever did. That would discourage anyone. You might have been teaching a class for a long time, yet wonder if anyone's getting anything out of it. That could discourage you. Satan also wants to hit you in the head with doubt. How do you know you're a Christian? Are you sure you're saved? You certainly don't deserve to be. Look at what you just did. Do you think that's what a Christian does? Listen, many people suffer from doubt and discouragement, but the helmet of salvation is our protection. Isn't that good? Because it's true. I know of people. I've known of people who have dealt with this. How do you know you're a Christian? You sure you're safe? Look at what you just did. I remember a guy that I had in my life. I'd gotten saved, and I was this young man was in a church I was going to, and he just constantly struggled with. He would always revert back to drinking when tough times would come. But I really believe the guy was saved. I mean, his life was changed. But he would falter in that area. And every time he did it, here come the arrows. You're not saved. Look at what you just did. You think a Christian does that? And he dealt with that on and on. He lived in this state of discouragement and despair all the time because he couldn't ever, he didn't live in the assurance of his salvation. I don't care what any so-called theologian or so-called Bible, a so-called author of a book tells you. If they're teaching you that you can lose your salvation, they are teaching you the wrong doctrine. Once you are saved, when you are truly born again, no one, the Bible says, can pluck you out of God's hand. If you are saved, live saved, think saved, act saved, and stand in your position in Christ in your battle. Because this doctrine of salvation, the understanding of what salvation equips us with, it enables us to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So we deliberately put on the helmet of salvation, which protects us and protects everything in our life because it grounds us in the truth of our redemption. It grounds us in the truth of our justification, our sanctification, and our glorification. We know who we are in Christ. We've been redeemed. We've been justified. We've been sanctified. We are new in Christ. And in that newness in Christ, in being a Christ person, Christ righteousness in the belt of truth, gospel shoes of peace with God, and we pick up our shield of faith and we have on the helmet, which is salvation. We are being strong now because we are confident, not in who we are, but in who we are in Christ. In this battle. So St. Paul is saying to us, take the helmet, which is salvation. In other words, don't go into the world with your head unprotected. Take care of your head because it determines how you function in all of life, even how you relate to other people. So I ask you this, salvation was Paul's helmet. Is it yours? You must know that it is your helmet for sure, because if you have any doubt as to your being saved, you will not be able to stand with real confidence when facing the devil, facing your bitter enemy. Listen, he comes to seek, to kill, and to destroy. His desire is to destroy your purpose, destroy your effectiveness in Christ. He wants to get you to run to one end of the spectrum in your emotions to the other. Your fear, 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 worry, 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 discouragement, doubt, fear, doubt, foul. And what it does, it gets you unstable. You are off balance. And if you're off balance, you're not going to be good to anyone around you. You're not going to be effective for the kingdom. You can ruin your testimony. So we need to get back. We need to get back into this place of being sure of who we are. Listen, If you are not sure of your salvation, if you don't have an assurance, you cannot be bold in resisting Satan. You must accept deliberately and receive readily the helmet which is salvation. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. I am not going to go into the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to make that armored up part three. We're going to go into the sword of the Spirit, and we're going to end it with the verse on prayer. We're going to make that a separate podcast. So I want to stop here. I want you to ponder and think about what you just learned. I want you to ponder and think about these truths that you were just taught. Number one, you're already, like we said in Armored Up Part 1, you're already in the first three. If you're a child of God, you're already in the truth. God's truth, not the world's truth, your truth. Not the Supreme Court's truth, your truth. God's truth. You're already in God's truth. You're already caring and living in, clothed in Christ's righteousness. You're already at peace with God, which are like shoes to keep you stable in the battle. And now you've picked up your shield of faith, faith in God's promises, faith in God's word, faith in who God is to you. And those are blocking every dart of discouragement, every arrow of fear and doubt and God's ability to provide for you, discouraging you, bringing fear and worry. And now you're putting on the helmet, which is salvation, your assurance of who you are in Christ. And that helmet brings that assurance because you were saved. That salvation brings you right thinking. It helps you to decipher what's worldly and what's of God. So man, even up till now, we haven't even gotten into the sword of the Spirit yet. And that's the one that we're going to use offensively to jab. Every time he shoots an arrow at us, we're going to jab him back. But we'll make that a separate one. So man, I'm so glad you listened to this. I want you to go back and listen to it again. Pass it on to somebody else because people need to hear this. Have them listen up to part one and then come into part two, and then I'll get part three up. And you need to listen to all of them. Make sure that you're grounded in this. This is so important. Listen, as soon as I preached part two, man, the devil started hitting me with stuff. Started hitting me with stuff during the Christmas season. But you know what? I keep up that shield of faith. Grab a hold of God's word, which we're going to see in part three, how we use his word as a weapon. And anytime Satan tries to come against us, like Jesus did, we use the word of God. So man, he tried to come against me, and I resisted him with all of my armor on as a man of God, as a child of God, as a soldier of the cross to fight this fight effectively. And I come out of it victoriously. So I'm trying to help you. Holy Spirit wants to help you be victorious. Amen. So I'm so glad you listened to this. Again, go back over it. Listen to it again. Get it down in you. Get it. If you're going through anything right now, pick up your armor. Know the first three are on you. Put on your helmet, which is salvation. Know who you are in Christ. Stand in that and pick up your shield of faith to fight off all those darts of anybody out there who's discouraged. Pick your shield up, man. Get it on you. Get your helmet on. Get your thinking right. And get your shield up to quench those fiery darts. Amen. So, well, God bless you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of this. Remember, part three is coming. It's going to be up in a couple days. So you listen to that as well. So have a great rest of the day. Have a great rest of the week. Again, thank you for listening. God bless you, man or woman of God.
Thank you for joining us at Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We pray this sermon blessed you, encouraged you, inspired you, and challenged you in your walk with Christ. Thank you for being with us, and come back and visit us anytime. God bless you.